Porque it is a matter of faith. It is a matter of our spirit. So when we are there, we need to learn how to look for the Lord, not for a feeling. How to receive His word, not to receive any kind of sensation. Sometimes the Lord, I'm not saying that spending time with the Lord will not give us some sensation or feelings. Of course, it happens because the Lord sometimes He allows to experience Him in that way, and we are humans and we have a soul with feelings, so it is right also to feel something. But if we don't feel something, that doesn't mean that the Lord is not there. We need to live by faith, and that is an exercise. Sometimes we are discouraged in the morning because we don't feel something. And maybe we set apart with the time with the Lord, and it's great one day, and next day we want to feel the same thing. A few months or maybe a year ago, I decided to spend time with the Lord very early in the morning. So I dress up just like this in the morning, like 5 in the morning. I was ready to spend time with the Lord. And the first day, it was so glorious, the time with the Lord. A lot of light. And I was repenting and confessing and experiencing, even feeling the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Next time, I thought that day, I got it. I know how to experience the Lord in the morning. So I did the same. Wake up very, very early in the morning. I dress up again, set everything to have my time with the Lord. And you know what? Nothing happened according to my thinking. I thought that I had the method to touch the Lord, you know, that because I did this and that, I would touch the Lord. And then next day I was disappointed because I didn't feel the same thing. But that is the thinking of a child. Yeah? Because it is not the way you dress. And I mean, of course, you have to be to have a proper time with the Lord. I mean, but it is not because you dress in some way that you are going to touch the Lord. It is not because you follow certain steps like a ritual, right? It is not because you are feeling or not feeling. It's just spending time with the Lord, just talking to Him. The way maybe we have a problem, we can talk to Him. Maybe we are concerned something about a brother or a sister, and we are praying, so we can talk to Him. Maybe we don't understand something in the Bible, and we can ask Him. Maybe He is not giving us the answer right away, but we can ask Him. So spending time with the Lord is a matter of faith, of being with Him, not with any kind of feeling. I just wanted to share this experience with you because many times we are deceived by the enemy and by ourselves trying to look something that is not the Lord. It's a feeling, right?
Morning, from last time, from morning revival, from many things.
I just want to say back to what the brother said just now. The purpose of spending time alone with the Lord is to absorb Him.
Amen. Amen.
I just feel when I touch the Lord, I noticed, I started to smile. Wow, I touched the Lord. He is so sweet. It is not like a brother said, it's not a ritual that we had to go through because we love Him. We love to spend time with Him. We like to behold Him. You know, I felt, wow, Lord, you're so sweet. I can't wait to spend time with you. You know, if it's
Amen.
Possible, I hope there's no limitation with my time with the Lord. Because you just love to spend time. And the word is so sweet. The word is so sweet. Today, my morning revival is about praising the Lord. Wow, Lord, you are worthy of all my praises. Amen. It doesn't depend on my situation, whatever I am, but look away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
I just felt, oh, it's so sweet. Lord, I just love you. I just want to behold you. That's all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brothers, I have a grave question for you. So I know, like, as the creation, I'm not supposed to question what the Creator is doing. Okay, but how can you go on with the Lord and not have a grudge against him? So like the place that I'm coming from is because for the past one and something years, there have been many blows, one after the other, many blows, like crisis, B-L-O-W-S. So like, and I know that, yes, you know, human life is not supposed to get easier, and you're supposed to, you know, face the blows as they come. But I just have a grudge against God every time I. And for example, this week I had three blows all at once, and I'm just asking you, how am I supposed to spend time with him? If there's going to be lots of tears, okay, if I was to be absolutely brutally honest with God, there would be many tears. But when you have a fast-paced life and, you know, you got to rock up to work decently presented, and you just don't have the time to have tears with the Lord. You know, you have to be accountable to your workplace. And then after workplace, you got to face your husband and children. And by the time this is all done, the day is finished and you've had enough of the evils of the day. And so every time the Lord gives me a blow, I just feel like he's trying to squeeze me. And yes, I know I'm a Jacob and I deserve to get a lot of blows in life, but just I think over time I just humanly numb all this up and trying to get on with my life, and but gradually I just can't spend time with the Lord, because I know if I spend time with him there will be many tears, and I have a grudge against him, and I will ask him, why do you hit me with so many blows? And I know all things work together for good, and I need to be transformed, and this is what it's about. But humanly, I can't spend time with him, because life is too complicated. And I feel like he likes to smash and squeeze me. And I have to hold it together, you know, like as a wife and as a mother. I just can't have tears right now. Yes. That's my question. How would you go about this and survive?
You were even shaking when you're talking. Think about a million years from now, what will happen? Million years from now. Actually, there's no million years. After the thousand-year kingdom, there will be eternity. There's no years. But sometimes in the songs, people say, you know, 10,000 years from now, what will happen at that time? We have no more husband and wives. We will have no more children and parents. You know that, in resurrection. And we will have no more self. And we'll have no more devil, because he will be in the lake of fire. And we'll have no more any problem that we are looking at, any blow, no more. Everything will be just God and man ruling over the other men who did not have God, yet will be the nations living on the earth. Okay? So that's in the future. So now we're here. We have the blow after blow, three blows in a week, three blows in a day. What for? It's not that God doesn't like us. It's that God is helping us to be there 10,000 years later, that we'll all be glorified, full of Christ, no self, no problems. So we're here. That's why. Okay. You are not the only one who have a lot of blows. Maybe most of us don't have three blows in a week. Okay. So make you a little bit harder in your situation. But some of us might have already many blows, but we have experienced the Lord and it's no more a blow. A blow may be to one, may not be a blow to another. Okay, so eventually we'll go through life, blow after blow, blow after blow, problem after problem, all for preparing us for his coming. But then if we are not ready when he comes, then we have another 3.5 years of great tribulation to prepare us more. If we are still not ready, we have another 1,000 years to prepare, but at least no less, more than 1,100 years. So 1,000 years, and now in our life, 100 years. No more than 1,100 years. We'll be ready. So that's pretty good. Ready on what? We will be full of God and know none of the self. We will become Christ, we'll become God, and not the devil. We started as the devil. We were born the devil.
Right.
We were called the sons of the devil.
Right. Right.
Jesus said that. So he is trying to use all situations, blow after blow, to chop us up, to remove ourselves. You know, in the 1,000 years, the ones who are not ready, it says that they will suffer the stripes. Did you remember that? Stripes. Somebody asked me that. What are the stripes? That means you get whipped. And I'm not so sure what it is, because the Bible didn't explain. But for sure, it's not pleasant, right? Whips, blow after blow, whip after whip. So we don't take the whips today with Christ as grace. We will experience those whips later. But at the end, all of us will be come God in life and in nature. Now, there's a story about Job, right? Job, he was a rich man, good man, took care of the widows and the orphans. But one day, he lost, I think it was 10 kids, right? 7 boys and 3 girls. They are men grown up. Lost all his properties, eventually lost his health in one day. Wow, that's how many blows is that? About 10,000 blows in one day. Okay, so he suffered. He challenged God. He asked about what happened. Okay, eventually he saw God. So that is the purpose of all that, those blows. He heard about God before, but now he sees God. Okay, So this is the key. So if you can see this, not only you, sister, but many of us have the same problem. Maybe don't have 3 blows in a week, maybe 3 blows in a year. But still, we always have the same problem of not seeing this. Now, you even quoted that verse. I was looking for that verse for you, and you already quoted. So that's good. We're in the same mind. The quote was Romans 8:28. All things work together. Did you notice the word all things did not say good things and bad things? It says all things. So in God's view, there's no good thing, no bad thing. It's all things working for us. Amen. To who are we? It says, for those who love God. And the result is good. All things working for good. What's a good? The good is God, right? In Luke 18, the young man said, good teacher. He said, there's none good but one, God. So working for good means working for us to become God. So when we become God, we will be good. And all things will be well. So you have to look from the eternal point of view. All the temporal experiences is only working for us to become God in eternity. Now there's another verse in Genesis 48 or 49. Jacob was blessing his children. And he talked to Joseph. It was before he blessed everybody. He talked to Joseph first. Proverbs 48. He said, the Jehovah who shepherded me all my life. Now, when he was talking to him, he was over 100. He was already Israel. He was mature. He was Jacob, got this problem and that problem. What was the first problem he had? He ran away. He had to run away because he was afraid to be killed. Then, second problem is that he got cheated by his father-in-law, his uncle. I mean, to me, that was the worst cheating of the whole universe. Can you imagine you love a girl and you're marrying her and then wake up and it was another girl? That gotta be the worst cheating. But in God's eyes, the beautiful girl was not his wife, was not his wife. The ugly girl was his wife. You know that, right? So there's a cave of Machpelah, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, and then Jacob and Leah in there, not Jacob and Rachel. So in God's eyes, that was not a blow. That was not a cheating by Laban. It was God ordained that Leah should be his wife. But humanly speaking, that is the worst blow you can ever get in your whole life. I don't know if anyone has been cheated like that. But one thing for sure is don't drink. He was drunk, so he was cheated. Okay, but after all that, blow after blow after blow, then Jacob, after all this, his children killing the whole city and all that, at the end, he said, Jehovah shepherded me all my life. So when you're young, you look in the front, man, this problem, that problem, and you don't know the future, you get anxious. But then when you go through all that, look back, oh, it was Jehovah shepherded me. He took away Rachel because she's an idol lover. He gave me Leah, and on and on and on and on and on. Yeah. So when you're young, it's hard. When you get old, you say, praise the Lord. So when you're young, you have the heart of an older person, then you praise the Lord all the time for your whole life. But usually it doesn't happen. It takes the working of the blows from the Lord. Actually, the Lord does not give us the blow. It's Satan gives the blow. He allows it. So the Lord did not kill Jacob's children. It was the devil who killed Jacob's children. It's the devil doing everything against humanity. Right? So anyway, I don't know if I can solve your problem. But anyway, this is how the Bible teaches. And then you actually don't worry about crying before the Lord. Just go and cry. The tears of the saints is precious. It says that he will put it in a bottle. How many tears do you have? Some of us have a little bottle. Some of us have a big bottle. Lots of tears. So just cry before the Lord. Don't worry. The Lord loves our tears. Because, as I said, even whatever you say, good or bad, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Just talk to the Lord about it. And he will supply you with himself. So all your frustrations, you just tell him. You just tell him. You say, oh man, Lord, I just don't like you because of all the blows. You can say that. I think he loves to hear. Did you remember this book called Catching Man from Watchman Nee? It's a little book. He said, talk about preaching the gospel. If the person says, I don't believe, and you say, okay, you tell the Lord, I don't believe. Remember that? That's a good prayer. So you say, I don't like you. That's a good prayer because you pray. If you talk to the devil, very good things, that's not a good prayer because the object of worship is different. It's wrong. When you talk to the Lord, everything is good. You say, Lord, I don't like it that you gave me 3 blows this week. In fact, I don't like it even if you give me 1 blow in a week and 1 blow in a year. I don't like any of your blows. You can tell him anything. And he will come to you. Eventually, you will become God. And then 10,000 years later, you'll look back and say, wow, that was a great experience. You know, actually, the New Jerusalem is the Feast of the Tabernacle, right? The Feast of the Tabernacle is the feast that you remember all the experiences that we had in the wilderness. Now we are in the wilderness. We suffer many things, 40 years. And we will experience Christ step by step for 40 years. And then we have a lot of experience. A lot of Christians have no experience. They believe in the Lord and they go back into the world. And then the Lord suddenly comes. They go to outer darkness, get whipped and get perfected. But then no experience. No experience. So we come to see Brother Paul, Apostle Paul, right? That one, not me, but the other one. I said, Apostle Paul. And then Paul was sharing, oh, I was beaten here. I was whipped 39 times, 39 stripes of this and that and that. I was stoned, and then I fell down, and then the Lord woke me up, and I got up and went to preach the gospel again. Wow, you have a lot of experiences. Then he said, well, how about you? I remember the day I got saved. After that, I was drunk. I was sleeping. I didn't remember a thing. Nothing to offer. So all your blows are experiences for you to have a remembrance. So if you have 3 blows this week, you have a lot of experiences. But if you suffer and don't experience Christ, then it's a loss. Because the whole world, people suffer every day. Look at our Ukrainian. They have to run during the winter, last winter, right? And they're still suffering instead of getting killed. Okay. But those who know God, know the Lord and love God, get perfected. And those who don't suffer and go to a lake of fire. So let us suffer in Christ. Amen.
Two more questions. My husband's heart towards the Lord has grown old, cold.
He has not desired to meet with the saints, even the Lord's table meeting. He will have multiple excuses to escape. My children are young. They are observing these. They ask me if Daddy is a believer. Whoa. Even coming to the meeting today was a challenge. I mean, the sisters coming to the meeting was a challenge. I have to get permission to come. Do you have any word of encouragement for your my situation? Thank you. Do you have any word of encouragement? Okay, you have a mic. Where's the other mic? Okay. Oh, the other mic is here.
All the situations that we are passing through are very different and quite similar at the same time. Because we all in our human living, we need to pass through many things like everyone else. Doesn't matter if we are believers or not, we will suffer many things because suffering is something common to all human beings. So
yeah.
we cannot avoid suffering.
Yeah.
I don't like to suffer, really. Sometimes I complain to the Lord about some things that happens in my house, in my work. I really don't like it. I would like not to pass through these things. But it's not possible. I try to avoid it. It's not possible. But in every situation, we have the Lord. The Lord is with us. He's inside of a spirit. And he has a mind. And he has a feeling. And he has some thinking about our situations too. He is the high priest, right? And he suffered all the things, so not just to, he suffered all the things because he wanted to understand what was to be a human being, what was to be a man. And he experienced a lot of suffering too. So he is paying attention to us, our situation, and he has a word for us in every situation. He really has something for us to experience. But it takes time because we need to ask the Lord and we need to look for him. We are not alone. The people in the world, they don't have the Lord. So they don't have any hope. We have hope because
Amen.
We have the Lord.
Amen.
So in our situations, we can take the Lord and we can enjoy the Lord and we can ask him. He is with us. We are not alone, saints. The Lord is the supply for us. But we can miss this supply if we don't touch the Lord. The situation will continue coming again and again just because human life is that way. But the question is, are we taking the supply from the Lord? Are we learning the lesson? If not, as Brother Paul says, it will be just one more suffering, just in the human realm, right? So we need to turn to our spirit and really touch the Lord, to seek the Lord for the word of the Lord. We have in our family, we have a similar situation with one of our relatives. Actually, one with the disciples in the side of my wife, and one so many years ago with in my family. There was one member of a family that didn't want to follow the Lord, and it was a suffering for all of us. It was not my parent or my mother. In my case, it was my brother, and in her case also was her brother, and it's quite difficult. And I pray at that time, I pray, and nothing happened. Apparently nothing happened. Something happened. It happens that I was praying and I was touching the Lord. And finally, the Lord did his work. I didn't do anything to solve the situation, but the Lord took my brother to another country and he met the saints, and then he started to meet again, and now he's serving in the church. He's happy in the church. In the case of my wife, the case was even worse. It was, maybe I cannot say here the details, but it was quite worse. And we finally, we continue praying and waiting in the Lord. But something regarding his situation affected the heart of us. Right, something of us need to be dealt by the Lord because of his situation. So it is not just the outward situation of that person. If we are experiencing something inside, that thing that we don't know how to call or how to name, that we don't know how to deal with, is specifically is that thing that the Lord wants to deal with. So we need to ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, I feel this way. I don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. We don't know how to do in many situations. That because that make us turn to the Lord. So there is not an answer for each one of our question that is would be easy to say. We need to look for the Lord for that situation. And we need to fellowship also with the saints. I mean, we have the Lord and we have the saints. We have the Word of God. We have the Lord in spirit. So it's a matter of having dealings with the Lord, having talks with the Lord, because he is in us. Amen.
About the husband. There's a sister who stopped meeting 7 years ago, suddenly. She was serving, taking care of many things, suddenly stopped. So we're all concerned, what happened? And so some of us pray for her off and on, trying to contact her, and nothing happens. Then I started to pray with her husband about 3-4 years ago. And we're praying for her to come back and all that. But last year, I realized, wait a minute. She is not here because she is not with the Lord. She does not enjoy the Lord. We think meeting, 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 meeting. No, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. When you enjoy the Lord, you come to meeting. When you see the resurrected Christ, you run to the disciples. That's what happens. So we change our prayer from praying that she will come to meetings, come back to the meetings. We pray for her to enjoy the Lord. So I talked to the brother to read the Bible with her, share with her what he enjoyed of the Lord. So he began to do that. It is a slow process because she's been gone for 7 years. People say, you know, if it takes you 7 years to have a bad health because of not exercising, overeating and all that, it may take you 7 years to recover. So the time takes time. So, okay, here's this brother, slow down and coming to a meeting. The husband, one of your husbands. What happened? Oh, there's another one in California. This brother was married to this sister for 25 years, and both of them were in the church life. And then on the 25th anniversary, he bought her a diamond ring and gave to her and left her and left the church. What happened? You think about that. There's another brother, having been around for 40 years, being an elder, being very active, brought many people to the Lord, to the church, and left.
after 40 years because he was offended by somebody. What happened? There's another co-worker around Ohio area serving, being in the church life for 50 years and left. He was able to give very moving messages and left. What happened? So this brother don't want to come to meetings, getting hot. What happened? What happened? What do you think is happened? What do you think happened? Maybe, I'm just presuming that during the time he or she looked like she is fully in the church life serving, he or she did not touch the Lord by himself or herself. They don't know the Lord. They follow one another. Come to a meeting, serve. Come to a meeting, serve. So there's no substance in the person. So when offenses come, temptation come, turn out that brother had another woman that won that 25 years with the, that had another woman. So many problems could be lying there in wait for to snatch us.
Yeah.
So, but when they stopped coming to the meeting is when it exploded. Before that, they never got the depth, the roots in Christ. You know, the iceberg, they call, say, the tip of the iceberg. The tip of the iceberg is what you can see. The below, there's 90% of that iceberg you don't see. That 90% is not there. That's why the tip just exploded, flip over, and sink. So the outward observation from all of us is in a meeting, serving, giving, doing many things. But the inward is what God sees. He observes the heart. Okay, when we come to him regularly, so it's tying back to the first fellowship this morning. When we come to him, talk to him, open up to him, read the Bible with him, listen to his word, then you have substance. You have root. Okay. And in Colossians, that we are rooted and grounded, right? For Colossians 2, rooted and grounded. If we are not rooted and grounded in Christ, we are rooted only in the church on the outward sense. We don't have the reality. So then the children observe the situation and question whether the husband is saved or not. Well, that's a good question. Is he saved or not saved? We don't even know. But for sure, he is not substantial in Christ. That's for sure. So then problem comes. So when suddenly a brother had been around for 25 years serving and stopped coming to meeting, everyone is shocked. Don't be shocked. You should have shepherded them since 25 years ago, one by one, week by week. Then this would have not happened. So when you have new ones, you baptize them, some of them don't come. Some of them come for a while and stop coming. What happened? But we have this problem. We have the problem is that thinking that when people walk in the door and sit on these chairs, they're okay. No, they are not okay. They're only okay when they are rooted and grounded in Christ.
Amen.
When they get full of Christ. So that's why we say, don't just think that when saints come together for a morning revival, that's good enough. That's not good enough. You have to help them. Help them, shepherd them to learn how to spend time alone with the Lord. Coming together, it's a meeting. It's not a morning revival, it's a meeting.
in the morning. It's good. It's good that you have a meeting every morning. But how about meeting with the Lord? That's more important. Okay. So the what is the solution? I don't know. The solution is shepherding. Remember Brother Lee talked about the new revival. The new revival is the biggest revival, is the last revival. What does that mean? That means when we have the new revival, the Lord comes. Okay, that's what it means. And there are only 3 points. Number one, high peak of the divine revelation. Number two, God-man living. Number three, shepherding according to God. High peak of the divine revelation, we have it every day. Morning revival, those are all high peaks. You dive into it, don't just buy the book. Buy the book, dive into it, then you see more and more high peak. You don't see it one day, you see it many days. Gradually, you know, I don't know if you read that verse, but he read a verse in Melbourne. It's a little here and a little there. Line here, line there, a little bit at a time. Every morning, you see something. Okay, then you live according to that revelation. That's a God-man living. Then after that, what do? You shepherd according to God. Okay, so this brother, you have to talk to the elders and see how they can help to shepherd this brother. And then, but according to 1 Peter chapter 3, you yourself as a husband or wife, you have to live according to God with the God-man living that you may gain your husband and wife. Sometimes the wives, I don't know if you have heard that. Have you done that yourself? Brother Lee said to the husband, what is that? The co-worker said, the elder said, the Bible said even. Do you understand what I'm saying? You use Brother Lee, the co-workers, the elders, the Bible to fight against your husband. Your husband say, let's go left. He said, no, Brother Lee said we should go right. What does Brother Lee have to do with your husband? If he is open, yes, that's fine. If he's not open, what is that? Brother Lee, let me tell you, Brother Lee said, don't tell people anything unless they are ready to hear. Have you ever heard that? You have heard? Brother Lee said that. So if your husband is not open to hear what Brother Lee said, don't tell him what Brother Lee said. Sometimes I told my wife, don't read the footnotes with the new ones. You know, a lot of saints like to read a book with the new ones, read the footnotes and all that. Read the Bible. If the new one is a Christian, he believes in the Bible. Read the Bible. Don't read Witness Lee. Don't read the footnote. Then they cause question. Yeah. What is this? Who wrote this? Yeah. You study the footnote yourself and you use the Bible to explain to them. Yeah. And in Mexico, we have many Catholics. Right now, it's 78% Catholics. So nearly everyone we contact, they were either Catholics or born Catholics. Because 70 years ago, 98% Catholics. 20 years ago, 88% Catholic. Now it's 78% Catholic. So nearly everybody we talk to were born Catholics. But you know what good thing about Catholics? In Taiwan, in the 50s, the best books, 到底有没有神? Is there a God? 耶稣是神的儿子吗? Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? 圣经是神所默示吗? Is the Bible the Word of God? We don't need those three books. So in Mexico, everyone believes all those things. They believe in God and they see Christ on the crucifix all the time. And then everyone has a Bible. So, they don't read it. They don't know God and all that. So when we read the Bible with them, it's so simple. It's a Bible. Then they can even bring their own Catholic Bible together and check it out. No problem. But when you read a footnote, they are not ready for that. But the Bible, yes. So with the husband, don't jump on them. Don't, what's that called? Nag them. Don't nag them about Brother Lee said this and the church said that. Take care of them. Pray and have a proper God-man living. Read 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Okay, here's another one. How to encourage the young working saints to pick up. Now, I'll read you this question, see if you know the answer, okay? I hope that you know the answer. If you know the answer, then we can end the meeting. How to encourage the young working saints to pick up the burden to serve together, to open home, etc. After more than 10 years serving them, it's still only a few of us serving, which is very discouraging. Most of the services are on the shoulders of minority of the saints. What's the answer? What's the answer? What did he say?
Pray.
Well, for sure, we need to pray. But what's the answer? Huh? Personal time with the Lord, shepherding one by one, the whole thing, everything we talk about this morning. Many of our shepherding is really not shepherding. What's shepherding? Two things. Nourishing and cherishing. Nourishing is to keep them happy. Oh, Chinese saints can do that very well. Keep people happy. Oh, many dishes, many things. You come to my house, every 20 minutes something happens. First is a hot towel. Smells good, better than Singapore Airlines. And thicker than Singapore Airlines. And then fruits. And then tea, coffee. This is a pretty good hospitality. That's the cherishing part. How about the nourishing? Wow, we are a little bit short, or maybe very short. So we serve them for 10 years. How much food have we given them? Christ, to eat. How much have we helped them to know Christ by themselves? Go to Christ alone. You know, the boards in the tabernacle, 48 boards, they were all overlaid with gold before they could be built up. We try to build up without gold. So 10 years of building up without gold, no wonder the boards still are like that. They just tip over, not built. So the answer is simple, right? Okay, we have only 15 minutes, but we should read this. But this is very self-explanatory. So, okay, let's take turn, starting from here. Go around here, and then second row, go around there and read, okay? And then take the mic and then read and then pass it on.
The sisters' service, the sisters in the God-ordained way.
Amen.
No matter what the church endeavors to work out, if the sisters do not bear the responsibility, it is very difficult to bring forth anything. The brothers may initiate something and may make many decisions, but whether or not anything can be conceived and worked out depends more on the sisters.
Okay, before you go. In the old way of church life, before the God-ordained way, what were the sisters' function? Mostly. Cooking and cleaning. Yeah. Terrible. Now with the God-ordained way, everyone can function in preaching, teaching, shepherding, and all that, right? Prophesy, even prophesy. Okay, so this is a big point. This is called the God-ordained way. God ordained all sisters, preach the gospel, shepherd people, perfect and Bill, this is God's thing. Okay, so be clear. Okay, A.
If the sisters are silent and dormant in anything in the church life, that thing will not have a good outcome.
So actually, this second question about the young working saints not functioning, this is telling the sisters to function first. This is the same problem we have. If the sisters are into the word, into the Lord alone, then you will function. And these are the same things, the young working saints. Okay, B.
In the matter of gospel outreach, it seems that the responsibility should be mainly on the brother's side. But if the sisters do not pick up the responsibility, it is difficult for the church to bring forth or give birth to the outreach of the gospel.
I think the sisters can do about 80% of the gospel in the church. Number one, we are more sisters than brothers. Number two, sisters have more time. Now you may say, oh no, we don't. But you actually have more time because, you see, this morning you are here. Oh, today is Saturday, that's why. Okay, but in Melbourne, it was a weekday. Many sisters were there. That means the sisters have more time. And sisters are nicer. And sisters are softer, more sensitive. And so I always let my wife meet the people, open the door, then I rush in after her. So she has to be the front runner. Sisters have to be the front runners. Okay, next.
The sisters are key in opening the house.
See? It says, so Esther opens the home and I run up to her. Amen. A.
The home meetings are the very base for the church to be built up. To bring the meetings to the homes is the very heart of the God-ordained way.
See, the homes. Who runs the homes? One time I have some saints at my house for meeting and Esther was not there. I was thinking, I think I should give them some coffee or tea or water. And I couldn't find the coffee and tea. So the husband bring home the money. The sisters run the house. So this is your home. Okay, A. Is it A?
Yeah.
One.
The life pause in the practice of the new way is the home.
Amen. Two.
We know that the only way anything can be sustained in human society is for it to be carried out in the homes.
Amen.
The home is the place where everything related to human existence is sustained.
Amen.
The home is the basic unit of society. It is the foundation of a nation. Without the home as a basis, it is difficult for individuals to exist, and it is difficult for a nation or kingdom to be established.
Amen.
Without a doubt, during the time of the apostles, the church was built up in the believers' homes. Under Satan's influence, Christianity has completely annihilated the spiritual atmosphere of the homes.
Oh, Lord Jesus, annihilated.
To gain the increase, we need to have the home meetings.
Amen.
The responsible brothers who want to promote opening the homes need to fellowship with the sisters. We must commend the sisters because the gospel in the homes is built on the sisters for the following reasons.
Amen.
The brothers are busier during the day because they go out to work. Their hearts are not necessarily concerned with the homes. Many sisters, however, stay at home and are not occupied by so many other things.
Amen. So that's what I said earlier. Okay, two.
According to the New Testament, sisters tend to love the Lord more than brothers do.
Amen. Do you agree? Amen.
The Lord Jesus was anointed twice by sisters. The brothers were in their mind and asked, Why this waste?
Hallelujah for the sisters.
Amen. Therefore, to promote preaching the gospel in the homes, we must begin with the sisters. If the sisters do not respond, we will not succeed. The sisters must rise up.
Amen.
And respond to this move.
Amen. Oh, by the way, the sisters have more time. That's the point here. And the ladies in the world also have more time. So if you knock on the door right now, or not right now, I mean, let's say Friday morning, there are more ladies at home than men, right? So it's easier for the sisters to go into the homes. Okay, now next.
See, the gospel in the home should not be committed to the brothers.
Amen.
We must let the sisters take care of it.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we must emphasize.
We must emphasize the function of the sisters in promoting the preaching of the gospel in the homes until every home is open for the gospel.
Amen. Okay, listen. When we say open homes, many saints open their home once a month for a group meeting in the home. Is that right? Once a month, take turns. Okay. This open home means open every day. Well, if you don't have time to open every day, then open every other day. If you don't have time for opening every other day, but don't take turns, make sure you open. Okay? This is a preaching of the gospel. So you can go to other people's home, or you can bring them to your home. You know who would be the best candidate for that? You go to their home and they come to your home. Who are the best candidates? Neighbors.
Neighbors, yes.
Yeah, you don't have to drive. Maybe your husband took the car to go to work. Then you have no car. What do you do? Walk around the neighborhood. That's your, what's that called?
Parish.
Parish or vicarish. Rick? No, no. Yeah, parish. Parish. You're the priest living here. And then all the houses around you is your farm, your parish. Okay, go.
When we go to recover the dormant households, we should begin with the sisters.
Yeah, amen.
Recovering the dormant brothers and sisters is a tremendous matter. The first responsibility of every small group is to recover the dormant brothers and sisters.
Amen.
When we go to recover the dormant households, we should not speak to the brothers because they have their dignity. We should therefore begin with the sisters. This means that first the sisters should visit the households, not the brothers.
Amen.
It's easier for a sister to soften the hearts of the sisters.
Amen.
Once we gain the sisters, it will not be difficult to gain their husbands.
Amen.
Almost every husband follows his wife.
Wow. Almost, not all.
D. As long as we have faith and go through the door of the sisters, we will be able to gain the dormant household.
Hey, let me ask you, sisters, do you believe all this?
Yes.
You really believe it?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't believe it, number one, repent. Number two, open up to the Lord. Number three, go try it. See if it's true or not. Well, in my household, for sure, it's true. So she is doing 80% of the work. Even on the plane, we were sitting on A and C. There's a lady on a B from India sitting in there. So she began to talk to her. Because I'm a man, I don't want to talk to a lady like that. So she talked to her. So she talked and talked and talked. And then eventually, the lady rejected the gospel. And then about the time it was supposed to land, then I asked, what was the result of all the talk? So my preaching was based on her preaching. So she said, oh, I like to maintain my religion. And so I share a little bit more about God wanting to be in us and all that. And then that's it. So she opened the door and I rush in. And we're in our neighborhood. We live in an apartment building. So we see our neighbors. And then we brought some cookies over there. Who made the cookies? Not me. The best cookies in the whole town is made by my wife. Because it's made in love and with spirit. Okay, then we brought to them. Then they brought us some gifts. Then we brought them some more. And then even a banana cake, whatever else. And then they come for lunch. And then as the man set up the nice table. I don't know how to set up a nice table. Do you know how to set up nice silverware and all the utensils? And then, man, really good food. I don't know how to do that. I did that 50 years ago. I haven't done it since then. So she's an expert. So see, if you don't know how to cook, don't worry. Go to YouTube. You can learn. That's where she learned a lot. Before you used to buy cookbook. Now you don't need to buy cookbook. Just go to YouTube. And then they will teach you all the food. Okay. Then he was looking around and saw a frameable quote from Brother Lee about having a divine capacity to overcome. So he asked me, what is that? I said, well, let me explain to you. So I explained. And then he said, wow, can I have the same experience? I said, sure, let me teach you. So that became the home Bible study in a few weeks. So it's so simple. And then it was raining that day. When they came for lunch, it was raining. And we don't need umbrella. Now, if it's you and you are living in houses, you can go to the neighborhood and then you need an umbrella, but you don't need a gasoline. So you can just walk over there. It's good. So eventually, now she met another lady. And was just about to have a first Bible study. We don't call it Bible study. We call it read the Bible. And another Catholic. So both of them are Catholics. But they are open to read the Bible. So anyway, it's good. So sisters can do a lot more than the brothers. Okay, what's next?
Amen.
Where?
Roman numeral 4.
Amen.
If the sisters are very active, you will have a living church.
Amen. Hey, but be sure you have to be active in vital groups and active in coordination. Okay? It's good. Active is good. So active, you active first by yourself because you live with yourself. You go to do shopping by yourself. But then later you have to be grouped together with the church, with the saints, right? Hey.
In certain ways, the sisters are more skillful than the brothers. If their ability allows, this will be a great loss to the church.
Yes.
In the sisters, there is a great spiritual divine asset. We must develop that asset.
Amen.
Amen. See. The sister need to be free to function.
Amen.
In this sense, they need to be emancipated.
Amen. Don't emancipate the ladies, but emancipate the sisters. KD.
D. In the house in Bethany, as an early figure of the model church, there were more sisters than brothers. In a typical church, there are more sisters than brothers, and the sisters should be free to function.
You know, the brethren, many of them don't allow the sisters to speak in a meeting. You know that? So they lost 2/3 of the functioning members. They misquoted, they quoted one verse in 1 Corinthians. Paul said, I forbid sisters, women, to speak in a meeting or teach in a meeting. But they forgot another verse that says women can prophesy with the head covered. So they misunderstood the Bible
and they kill 2/3 of the function of the church. So we have to be careful. But we don't forbid that, but because many saints, many sisters don't pray alone to the Lord, so they are not strong, they are not rooted and grounded, so they cannot function so well. So they come and sit in the back. So sitting in the back is a sign that you don't spend time alone with the Lord. Oh yeah. Maybe not absolutely, but that's quite sure is that purpose proper. So we not need to be full of the Lord. Now, after reading this, don't just go and do everything. You have to go to the Lord first. Remember that. You don't just say, oh, Brother Lee said we need to function, open our home, just right away open the home. No. Right away you go to the Lord tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow afternoon, then you go open your home. Don't wait 10 years. Every day, begin. Okay, amen, brothers. Let's have a little prayer before we go to lunch.